everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Parasite Doc podcast. I'm really excited about today's episode because this has been kind of something that's been going on in my personal life, and I've been back and forth as to whether I wanted to share it, you know, whether it was something that you guys would be interested in. And I've had the feedback that people are interested in kind of my spiritual journey and how that happened and what that looked like. So grab a cup of tea, grab a cup of coffee. This is going to potentially be a long one. And I'm going to take you down the journey of what led me ultimately to be a Christian and what I now love as a Jesus lover, which seems so extreme because of where I came from. So sit tight, and I'm going to start right from the beginning as to where this all started. So if I go back in time to when I was, I guess, 10 or 12, I grew up in a very, I want to say, an atheist household. There was no common belief. We didn't go to church. There wasn't much talk about spirituality or God in general. I remember around that time, I just had a peak in curiosity. So I ended up going to my mom and I was like, "Mom, like, what do you think about God? Like, is there a God? Do you pray? Like, I really feel like I would like to do that, but I don't know where to start and I don't know what that looks like." And at the time, my mom was like, "I do actually, I do believe that there is a God. I do believe in prayer. That is something, like, I do a little prayer before bed, you know, for people in the family or whatever's going on, but that's kind of the extent." So going back in the family line, we actually come from Christian roots. So my grandparents on my mom's side used to go to church. They used to take the kids to church, and that was something that they did every Sunday. My grandfather, as he got older, stopped doing that. That became a tradition that just kind of phased out with the family, and then something that wasn't passed down into my family. So if I look at my father line, there is really no religious background at all down that line. Like, nobody goes to church. There's never been any talk about God or anything like that. And from my father's perspective, he's very, his belief is in evolution. So in science, that, you know, you're here one and done, you're here by the micro chance that evolution worked and you showed up. And that's just his core belief. So I was really conflicted because I had these two polar opposites of, you know, who do I believe in and where do I start? And I really had to decide for myself what felt right and what, you know, kind of experiment and play with the idea. So at that time, I think I started prayer, but it wasn't anything crazy. It would have just been like, "Hey God, it's me, Melanie. here's my little prayer. Like, thank you for, you know, making my life beautiful and take care of my family." I think that was the extent of it, but I wasn't at all, you know, going to church, reading the Bible, nothing like that at that point in time. So fast forward, I want to say my 20s were completely devoid of any kind of spiritual essence. Like, I really was lost at that point in my life. And it's funny because, you know, as I kind of break down my journey for you and explain what happened in my life and how that panned out, that actually becomes relevant. Because when we're really lost, it's because, and this is what I've come to learn, and of course, this is my own beliefs, but when we're really lost, it's because we're missing a spiritual backbone. It's because we don't have something to kind of pull us back to what's, you know, right or ethical or truthful or peaceful. When you don't have that in your life, you don't have a barometer to say, "Hey, this isn't right." You don't have a barometer to, you know, pull you back and pull you into kind of a state of sanity. So my early 20s, I pretty much did what everybody else did. I went to university. That university had obviously a party scene. We went to the bars. There was lots of drinking. There was lots of partying. I got into bodybuilding at that time. So I was very self-absorbed. I really only cared about my physique and how I looked and my grades. And it was all completely ego-based. Like, it was about me. And I was this selfish character who really only cared about themselves. Like, I can honestly say at that point in time, I really, as I look back, obviously I had to be that person to become who I am today, but I would definitely not be friends with her. And, you know, I'm not proud of who I was either, but I understand that I had to go through that to become this version. So that's the beauty in it. And I think that's the beauty in Christianity is this beautiful guidebook of, you know, morality. And one of the big things is, you know, when you go back to the principles of the Bible, there is, you know, no sex before marriage. There is the purity of virginity, of the sacred bond of marriage. There's respect for marriage. So respect for the woman and the male and the role that they play in this beautiful marriage to create children. And I think our society, because we've gone in this direction where we're actually pulling away from religion, we're pulling away from the morals and the values that made people happy. And we're seeing that on a large scale, is that when you don't have these principles to keep you grounded and to keep you centered, you create chaos. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And obviously, like I said, I'm not like Christianity is what called my heart and what has helped me. And I'm going to explain that too, but I'm not against any other religions. I lived actually in the Middle East for, how long did I live there? 2.5 years, 3 years. And that was really eye-opening for me. And I want to say that was actually the moment or the pinnacle of me becoming spiritual. I'm getting chills as I say that. I absolutely love it. Because the Middle East was such an eye-opener for me. First of all, it broke all of the previous ideals, or all of the previous ideas I had about the Middle East were completely broken. Like I was expecting to go into kind of this, I guess, environment that was chaotic, that had, you know, war and fear and all of these things. And it was the counter opposite. It was the most beautiful and peaceful place. Yes, I say peaceful, that I've ever been to. And it still has a huge place in my heart because the people there are lovely. The environment is amazing. The rules are perfect. Like, I just loved really everything about the Middle East. And one of the big things that I learned that kind of opened my eyes was I piqued my curiosity in the Quran, which is, you know, obviously the Muslim religion. And I just wanted to know more because these people seemed so happy. And there was one thing that I noticed about the Middle East that really lacked in Western culture. And it was the community and the family aspect, the purity around marriage and around family and having people that you can talk to and people that you can trust, and they uphold each other. So what's really interesting in that environment is last names are really, really important. So depending on the last name that you have, it kind of denotes the kind of job that you can have or the kind of opportunities, which obviously can be restrictive, but it's based on character. So the last name obviously is how people kind of, oh, you know, that last name is known for this, that last name is known for that. And obviously you can rebuild it in any way you choose, but it puts people into kind of, I guess, a category. I don't want to say a category because I'm looking at it from kind of a positive perspective, but it keeps people in line because your last name is your pride in your family. And in the Bible, it talks about, you know, honoring your mother and honoring your father and honoring your name and bringing pride to your family, which is also something that I see in Western culture. It's really interesting that shame is also something that has been completely thrown out of the window. And I can see this in myself in my younger years. Like, I was so selfish and I was entitled and I was self-centered and I had no shame. There was no shame to say that this was right or this was wrong or this is what you should be doing. And when you have a lack of shame, you have a lack of barometer of how to act. You just become a loose cannon. And shame can almost be good. Like, obviously there's trauma and there's impacts of shame. I work with shame in my clinical practice and it's not a good feeling. Nobody wants to feel shame, but it's good when you're not doing something right and you need somebody to pull you back to baseline. Like, if we lived in this perfect, picture perfect world where everybody validated you and, you know, was okay with who you were and everything that you did, you would have no barometer to push you back to baseline. You wouldn't know when you were doing something bad. And the problem with that is that we're not all perfect. We're not all going to be acting in our own, you know, perfect ways. You need to have a baseline. You need to have somebody to say, hey, this isn't good. And you need to get back here. And here's how you do it. And that's something that I've developed over the span of my life. And I want to say in my later 20s and my early 30s is I learned, created my moral compass with Christianity of, okay, you know what? I want to do what God says is good for me. And if God's saying that this isn't good for me, then I'm not going to keep that in my lifestyle. And I'm going to go back to, you know, the word of God and use that as my barometer and my baseline for how I should act and how I should be and how I should, you know, show up in society as myself. And that has been a huge change for me, for my character, for, you know, who I am in the world and what I believe in. And I think it's been a huge opportunity for me to heal even those shadow aspects, because if we're being honest with ourselves, we're not perfect. We do have shadow aspects. We have great aspects that are gifts, you know, and beautiful aspects that we share with people. But we also have these attributes and these negative characteristics that aren't so great, and they don't serve us and they don't help us, you know, be the person that we want to be. And when we have that blind spot where we're not able to look at them and don't feel shameful about them, then you're never going to grow out of them, and you're just going to sit in them, and you're going to hurt people, and you're going to walk around the world like somebody who is unhealed. And that's not what you need, and that's not what the world needs. And that's where the beauty of tough love comes in. But anyways, I'm getting a little off topic. It's all relevant. So anywho, so I go to the Middle East. I have kind of a spiritual awakening where, you know, you can't not feel God in that country. Like, you can't. The spirit is prevalent. The Holy Spirit is prevalent. The peace is prevalent. So at that time, I felt it, and I was very, very curious about it. I was like, okay. I'm like, these people have it together. They have beautiful families. Of course, they've got their conflict. They're just like anybody else, but they've got beautiful families. They're happy. They've got community. They spend social time together. They have, you know, this connection to the Holy Spirit or God that they spend, you know, 5 days or five times a day praying to. I'm like, I want to know what they're doing and why they're doing it and how it's impacting them, because obviously what they're doing is working in some capacity. So I actually started reading the Quran a little bit, didn't get through it. It is quite the book. But I just started learning from those around me. So I was surrounded by people who were Arabic. So I was learning kind of their principles, you know, the difference between the different streams of the Muslim culture or religion and how that impacted them. And that was the kickstart for my spirituality. Now, at that time, I went to more a New Age perspective. So I was learning about the Muslim culture, and I was dipping my toes in. I had all of these people kind of coming to me from the New Age perspective. So I had Reiki healers, I had crystal healers, I had naturopaths. Like, I had all these people that were in alternative medicine, energy medicine, and that was the kickstart for me. So, you know, I started meditating, I started working with energy. I was fascinated by crystals. This was something that I absolutely love. And actually, as a kid, it was something that I collected for you know, a majority of my childhood, not even knowing why I loved them. I think I just thought I liked pretty shiny things. But so I spent majority of my childhood doing that. And then I was getting into kind of cards. So this was also the tipping point of angel cards and, you know, people at Hay House like Louise Hay and Doreen Virtue and Dwayne Dyer. These became kind of my leaders and my inspiration for what I thought spirituality was and for who I wanted to be with spirituality. And one of the things, when we create a spiritual life, it's because we're looking for something, right? We're looking for peace. We're looking for love. We're looking for something to tell us that we're not so damaged. We're looking for something to kind of heal those wounds. It's usually when we're in a state of either anxiety or depression or sadness. We're in a deep emotion that we don't know how to get out of, and we're looking for tools, right? So I was at that point. I was separated from my family, and that I didn't realize at the time how hard that was on me, but it was extremely hard to be, especially in a completely different time zone. So I couldn't contact my family majority of the time until like 8 p.m. at night because of the change from the Middle Eastern time to Canada time. So I always found it really difficult to kind of get a good time where I could talk to somebody. And then my spirit felt the distance. Like, I was very emotional getting on the plane. Coming home was always a huge, like, emotional release for me. It was being so far away, like 18 hours on a flight away from my family and my friends, that I really grew lonely and I grew sad. And even though I had kind of my people or my friends and family in the Middle East, it wasn't the same. It was that separation from kind of my biological roots that I learned, you know, kind of put me into a little bit of depression. So I was looking to like this new age stuff to help with my depression and to help with my anxiety because I didn't know what I was doing. And also at that time I was going through, so I was coming out of my bodybuilding phase and I was being faced with, unfortunately, an eating disorder. So I was going through, it was bulimia at the time, which was really, really hard because I didn't feel like I had the support. I was depressed. I was going through that, you know, serious self-hate and self-harm and all of those things. And I just wanted out of it. I just wanted answers out of it. So I ended up using the New Age to kind of revamp my mind, and I got into manifestation and I started creating from that aspect, and it brought me peace. I have to say that, you know, my reconnection to God brought me peace in that aspect. It was fun. And I think that's the big thing that kind of caught me with the New Age is it was fun. It was new. I liked the energy aspect. Like in meditation, you feel extremely powerful. You feel extremely good. But you go through these ebbs and flows. So you do a meditation, you feel really good, and then you go down. And then you do another meditation, you feel really good, and then you go down. And this wasn't something that kind of I clued into until my later years. So this was, you know, my early 20s where I was in the Middle East. And then it wasn't until my late 20s and my 30s that I kind of realized what I was getting and kind of reflected and decided, you know, where do I want to go now? So I did that for a couple years. I ended up coming home and I ended up spending the next year on the West Coast, which was probably the most healing thing that I could have ever done for myself. Victoria Island has a place in my heart and my soul and will always be what I call my home on earth spiritually. That place is just such magic and such love. And I met a lot of people there again who just kind of opened up the spiritual doors for me. So that's where I was introduced to kind of acupuncture. I learned more about herbs. I learned more about, you know, vegan nutrition. I was a vegan actually for a year when I was on the West Coast. And I, again, was just dabbling in the New Age. So at that time, my life was actually very chaotic, believe it or not. But I was peaceful in the chaos. So there was a strong energy of, like I said, God and love. And I want to say that the connection there was so easy for me. Like any time that I wanted to connect with God, I remember this one story. I got a new job at a youth home in Victoria. And it was leading up to this, I had insights that I was to work in a youth home actually with youth, which was funny because I had really no experience working with kids. And I had no experience of like what that was going to look like or, you know, what that entailed. I just knew that I was to be looking for a job that involved me working in a youth home. So I go on, I think Indeed at the time, and I was looking for a job. And I got a job, got an interview, and I ended up getting the job. And I remember the interview was at one of the youth homes. So if you have never been to a youth home, it can be a little startling. They're not the cleanliest homes and they definitely have high security. So, you know, there's locks everywhere. There's a lot of cameras, like the kitchen. I remember walking into the kitchen, like sharps were locked up. You had to be like careful because you're dealing obviously with high volatile youth who have been through a lot of trauma. So they don't always act logically. Like they'll pull a knife if they're angry. Like there's evident danger in that. So I remember getting the job and then I was just completely filled with fear. It was like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm prepared to do this. Like I'm afraid that one of them's going to pull a knife on me. And then like, what am I going to do? I don't have the tools for this. So I ended up going on a hike with one of my friends and it was Mount Douglas, I believe, was the trail that we went on. Really, really pretty hike. And we get to the top and I'm like, I need a pause here for a second. I'm going to go meditate. I'm going to go have a conversation with God. And then when I'm done, we can go down. She's like, yeah, cool. I'll do the same thing. So then I go and I meditate and I'm like, God, I have a lot of fear. I'm like, I have a lot of fear about this new job. I'm like, I know you want me to be here. I know that it feels right, but I'm filled with fear. And I don't know why, and I feel like I shouldn't accept the job, but I'm like, if you want me here, if you want me to do this right now, I want you to fill me with love and I want you to take this fear away and I'll do it. And that's exactly what happened. So I was filled with a overwhelming amount of peace and love. And there was no more fear about that job. And I knew that I was going to be okay. And I knew that whatever was meant for me in that job was there and that I would do it. And when I felt like I couldn't do it anymore, I wouldn't. So I ended up going into that job and it was crazy and chaotic. It was volatile. It was hard. It was honestly hands down the hardest probably job I've ever done. So hats off to people who work in those vulnerability sectors, because that is not an easy job at all. So I ended up doing the job. I met the youth that I knew I needed to impact and help. And when it was all said and done, it was done. And, you know, that chapter closed. But I knew that I needed to be there and God helped me through that. So I want to say that my time in Victoria was really helping me connect with God, but also helping me connect with my heart. And in that energy, I really learned to trust even when things didn't seem like they were going in the right direction. When things seemed chaotic, I was still at peace. And I do remember there's another story. I'm wondering whether I should tell you guys this story. But there was this story of, I remember I was financially struggling because I was on my own. And I had just, you know, gone through med school and all that kind of stuff. So I had a lot of student loans and I had, I think, $14. It might have even been less than that. $14 in my bank account. And I was a little stressed. I needed to buy groceries and I couldn't. And I remember I walked and I'm like, I'm just going to go for a walk. Like, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go to the water, which makes me feel really peaceful. And I'm going to grab a kombucha, which is like $4. And I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to figure this out. So I remember I grabbed the kombucha and I walked to the water and I'm like, I got 10 bucks in my bank account. And I'm like, I don't want to be stressed about this. I really don't. I want to know that it's going to be okay. And I remember just relaxing and surrendering and connecting to the love of God again. And I get a text message from my landlord. She's like, hey, there's a check here for you. I don't know why it was delivered to my house, but there's a check here for you. And that was a moment where I was taught that I was always going to be taken care of, no matter what. Like, even if there was 10 bucks in my bank account, that I could just let go because I was going to be taken care of. I was going to be led and there was nothing to worry about. So that was a really big lesson with me on the West Coast. So I ended up moving back to Toronto because I was going to complete my schooling with naturopathic medicine. And my schooling through naturopathic medicine, again, I kind of continued my journey with the New Age. So I was really into psychics at that point and tarot card readers and who else? I want to say that was like kind of the main thing. And I was starting to see kind of the negative aspects of the New Age. But at the same time, it was kind of a belief that I thought that was who I was. Like, it was like, I am this person. Like, I've always been this person. This is my spirit. Like, this is who I am. So I kind of created this identity around the New Age and all the New Age practices that I really held on to and that, you know, I identified with. So I ended up having this experience actually with a psychic where it was a negative experience. So there was kind of like seeds that were planted and it caused a lot of chaos in my life. And I walked away and I was like, that didn't feel good. Like, that wasn't good. Like, the whole point that I'm doing this is because I'm trying to make my life better. I'm trying to do it so that things improve. But what I'm noticing with these practices is that things improve temporarily, but then I get smacked in the face. It's like, they're not lasting. They're not improving me over time. And that's what I'm trying to do with them. So I kind of grew a little bit skeptical and I started to kind of just watch, you know, different things. And I had always been interested actually in the Bible. And I want to say this is where the Bible kind of came in, was my grandfather passed away and I was very, very close to him, like very, very close to him. He was one of my main role models. Like, I love and adore the man. I miss him pretty much every day. So he passed away and he left behind some stuff for me, and he had actually a Bible. So he was quite a Christian man. He was pretty good about reading his Bible. He did, like I said, go to church for the longest time, and that was his faith in his denomination. So he left that behind, and my grandma actually ended up giving it to me. So I was kind of reading through it, and it was like, okay, I want to know more again. Like, I want to know more about this. I want to know, you know, what it's about. I want to read it. I feel like I'm supposed to read it, and I want to see what I can get from it. So I kind of dibble dabbled in that, reading it a little bit. If anybody knows, the Bible is quite the read, so you have to be very dedicated if you're reading it. And fast forward now, I prefer devotionals, going through chapter by chapter, because it just seems like an overwhelming feat if you're going to read the whole book. That's just me personally. But breaking it down has really helped me kind of, you know, get snippets and learn more and learn better. So that's where I am now. So at that time, I got the Bible, and, you know, I was interested in Christianity, but I was really resistant to it for the longest time because it conflicted with my New Age ideologies. So my New Age ideologies were, you know, the church is bad, religion is bad, religion keeps you down, like religion takes your power away, all of these things. And don't get me wrong, so there are things in religion that I actually don't agree with. I always had a problem with churches. I found churches actually ran more like businesses than they did actual spiritual and like spiritual practices, which was my biggest thing with them. And actually, I do have a story around that. So back when I was working in Toronto, I was working with a lady who had a disability. So she had multiple sclerosis, and she was really into the church. And I actually had to take her to the church every Sunday. That was part of my job. I was supposed to take her to the church, sit with her in the church, because this was something that she was going to do. And I remember sitting there in the pew with her, and I just stared at the ceiling. And I was like, I don't have to be here to feel this. Like, I know that God is in me, and that, like, anywhere I am, I'm going to feel God. I don't have to sit in a church to be in the presence of God. And then I remember when the service was done, we went down to the cafe. They were doing kind of like a brunch or like a food, whatever, table. And she had money. She donates money to the church. So she had money on the table, and the pastor was walking by. He sees the envelope, stops, talks to her for a quick second, and then asks, like, oh, I see you have a donation there. Like, I can take that. And my whole experience with it was, this is just all about money. Like, this isn't about her. This isn't about the spirit, the Holy Spirit being in her. This isn't about her healing spiritually. This is about how much money she can bring into this congregation. And that's just how it felt to me. So that kind of turned my nose up, because it was like, I can't do this if that's the principle, if that's the moral ground of this. Because if you're actually reading the Bible, that's not what, like, you're not supposed to be of the world. You're supposed to be of God, right? Like, you're not supposed to be about money. You're supposed to be about service. You're supposed to be about doing things for his glory. And that's the opposite of what I saw. So that's kind of put my nose up, and I was like, I don't think I can do these church things. Like, this is hard for me. So I ended up just letting her go and do her thing. And then I would just pick her up after, because I was like, nothing's going to happen when she's in there. So she would do that. Anyways, so that's kind of where I was with the church. And like I said, there's things that I don't agree with. Like, you can't have blinders on when you're in something. So even though Christianity is considered a religion, you can't say that it's entirely good, because you're saying that every single person within that congregation is entirely good, which would be delusion. So in the time of Jesus, when Jesus came to the earth, there were men who were appointed to be the apostles, right? There were also people who were appointed to be the head of the church that were already there. So these would be like our popes, or, you know, people at the head of the church who are supposed to be guiding people. And those people were against Jesus. Those people thought that it was blasphemy, that, you know, Jesus was this false prophet. And they were completely against Jesus on his time walking through the earth. So to say that those people can't exist, that if you believe in Christianity, you believe in all of Christianity would be a false ideology, because even when Jesus was here, biblically, there were parts of the church that were bad, right? So that contrast existed in the Bible, existed in that time. So there's no reason why it wouldn't exist now, is what I'm saying. So there are aspects that, you know, I do know about the church, like the Vatican, like the Pope, that are dark, that I do not agree with. But what I agree with in Christianity is God, Jesus, and the Word, and what it says about being human and being a man. And we can have these conversations, because I know people get so heated about, oh, you know, like, why doesn't God help people if he is like the God of man, or like a God of good? And you can explain it through biblical verses and how things work, but that is a conversation for another day. So where was I? So I ended up getting the Bible and reading it, and then again dabbling in kind of in and out of biblical things. So I remember I went to a bookshop, and I love books, absolutely love reading. And I go to this bookshop, and I'm like, this was my thing about bookshops. I feel like books come to me when they're supposed to come to me. If I'm supposed to read something, I'm going to see it and I'm going to be interested in it. And that's always how I've picked books. So I go into this bookshop, and I think I go to the spiritual aisle or something like that, or the Christian aisle. And I picked up two books that ended up being Christian. So I picked up, I forget what the first one was. It's like, What is the Purpose or something. I can remember the cover. It has like a tree on it and it's purple. And it was about walking with God and the purpose of life and kind of how God supports you in your spirit. And I remember I love that book. I don't remember too much about it, to be honest. But I do remember that it was a really impactful book and really good. And I ended up giving it to my mom to read. And then the second book that I got was actually a book on scriptures. And I believe the author was Charles. Just trying to remember what the book was called. I have it here actually somewhere in my library. But the book was scriptures and how they impact your life and how you can live through scriptures. So I read a little bit about that one. I found that one a little bit more difficult because I wasn't from the Christian denomination, so I didn't have the background of the scripture. And I found scriptures really hard to read and interpret. And I feel like I'm getting better at that now, but I don't know if you've ever like opened a Bible and read a verse and, you know, even read a whole page and then try and reflect on what you learned. Like sometimes I find the wording in the English is a little bit confusing, and it takes kind of time to process, like, what am I trying to learn here? Like, what is the purpose of this? Like, I understand the story, but like, what am I supposed to get of this verse? So that kind of took a process too, because I feel like that was a barrier into me reading it, because I felt certain versions were easier to read than other versions. So I ended up doing that. And then again, fast forward, I kind of went into more Christianity without, I guess, the New Age before I went full-blown Christian. So I would say, again, so I was kind of dabbling in like meditation and tarot cards and stuff like that, but I was just realizing the contrast of things that would go on in my life and chaos that would ensue after those practices. And I was like, okay, why is this happening? Like, what is going on here? And I noticed that when I move into the more Christian role, so when I read my Bible, when I abide by the principles, when I pray, when I talk to Jesus and, you know, have spiritual warfare, I find that my life is a lot more peaceful. And it's not that up and down roller coaster. It's not good one day, bad the next day, good one day, bad the next day, or like good after I got a reading, then bad, and then good after I got a spiritual insight, then bad. Like, there's no oscillation. And I'm like, what do I value? I'm like, I value my husband. I value my family and my future family. I value God and Jesus at the top. And I value my community and my friends and the work that I do through service. So I'm like, these are my values. How do I get something that aligns with those values that brings good to everybody? And I'm like, okay, well, the Bible can give me insight on that, right? Like, love your neighbor as thyself. Okay, so I'm supposed to love people like I love myself, right? I'm supposed to treat people with love. I'm supposed to love even people who hurt me. That's another principle, which actually was very hard. So this person has hurt me, but God gives grace. So I've sinned before. This person sinned before. I know I'm a sinner. I know they're a sinner, but God forgave me. So God can forgive them too. And it's my duty to forgive them as God has forgiven me. So I started to use those principles and pull away from the things that used to be important to me to the things that were in the Word of God. So again, predominantly in my family, money had always been important. It was always like, get a job so that you can make a lot of money and, you know, like money is status. And that was the belief that was in a lot of the line, right? Like money is really, really important. But I never felt that that was a thing for me, which is why leaving medical school in the first place, Western Medical School, was not hard for me because it was never about the money. It was always about my moral and principle and ethics. And I'm very, very strong in that. So I left that. And anyways, so the teaching about money is money comes when you are of service. You will have bounty by God as long as you reap what you sow. So if you come and you are of service and you have your heart and your spirit in it, you will be provided for in whatever it might be, a denomination that, you know what I mean, you weren't expecting, or whatever it is, you will have what you need as long as you follow in those footsteps and you are not of the world. You are not trying to create more than what you deserve. So I started to follow these principles and I started to implement them in my life. I'm like, it says that I'm supposed to do this, you know, and, you know, act in a moral manner and talk well of people. And I started to read the different things of, you know, like what a wife is supposed to look like and what is a biblical wife. Like, she is not nagging. She is supportive of her husband. She talks highly of her husband. She is there for the family. She wakes early. She takes care of the family. I'm like, what are these principles? And then how can I apply them in my life? Like, where are they missing in my life? What have I been taught previously that seemingly wasn't untrue because my life was chaotic? And then how can I take these new principles and apply them and then see what it does to my life? So I started to do that. And like I said, peace started to be a foundation. Like, I was really starting to live in peace every day. Like, on a day, like, of course I was going to have my ups and downs because that's life. There's going to be things that you're going to go through, but I was peaceful going through them, believe it or not, for the most part. I was never afraid because I knew that, you know, God was going to help me get through them and was going to help me kind of come through them. So all said and done, I feel like that's another podcast because I feel like I've been rambling for like 38 whole minutes and my voice is a little tired. But that's where I am. I now call myself a Christian. I have gone over the fear. I think I held back actually a lot of my beliefs because I was fearful of what other people would think. I was really scared of saying that I love Jesus, which I do. I absolutely love and adore Jesus and welcome him into my life and my home. And I will be there in the beginning and the end with him. But I was afraid to say that because I'm like, oh, okay, I'm a doctor. Like, I'm like, you don't mix, you know, medicine with spirituality. You don't talk about these things. You keep your personal life personal. I had all these beliefs that I felt like I was going to be judged for being a Christian or for loving Jesus or for bringing it up because the New Age is actually very resistant to it. So a lot of my friends that were believed in all of that stuff were against religion. Like, those two don't coincide. So I felt if I was to step out that, then how many people would I lose? And would it be okay if I did that? And would it be okay if that was my new identity? And so I held back a lot and I held back for a long period of time. But I'm no longer okay with holding back. And I don't think I'm being honest with myself and with other people if I don't share my journey and my truth of who I am currently. And that is a Christian who believes in God and reads and lives by the word of God. And that's what's brought me peace. So that's where I'm at. I don't see that changing, to be honest. And it's funny because I've watched a lot of people who I support and who I enjoy watching evolve into Christians. And I don't know if it's been on a world scale. It seems like it has, but you know, people like JP Sears, who's the comedian, he's gone Christian. And I watched Jordan Peterson really step into his Christianity and own it and be it and love it and cherish it and share his testimonies with his wife Tammy. And I've just watched a lot of people. Another one is Brittany, forget her last name, who have done this, and I'm ready to do it. So yeah, I hope that was insightful for whoever it was supposed to be insightful for. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. But I really do encourage people to experiment and, you know, find obviously what's right for you. But if you're not peaceful and you don't feel peace, peace is available and you can have it. But you have to work through it and you have to invite Jesus into your heart and into your life. And, you know, maybe there's another way for you that I haven't found, but this is just my own journey. And the only thing that has really ever done that for me is Jesus, God, and the Bible. So that's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I will see you next time on the Parasite Doc podcast. And that wraps up another episode of the Parasite Doc podcast. Thank you so much for being here. This show wouldn't be possible, obviously, without you guys. We love to hear your feedback. What did you think of the show? What did you think of the topics that we touched on? And we're always open to feedback on things that we could improve on or topics or people that you'd like us to interview. Thanks again. We'll see you on the next time on the Parasite Doc podcast.